Hello again, everybody. I noticed last weekend there was mass protests and talk of rebellion by the eco warriors. They were blocking off the streets and they demanded more action for climate change and the destruction of the natural world. And the idea of a radical environmentalism within the mainstream discourse is actually an interesting one, because if you follow the logic through, it does run counter to modernity and to man's footprint on the world and what we are doing now. If these eco-warriors rioting on the streets and chanting revolutionary slogans are to be taken seriously, then the damage man is inflicting on the world will have to be drastically reduced. And isn't this in some ways a traditionalist stance? It's true enough that many conservatives and nationalists also view modern man's disregard for the natural world as a disgrace. I certainly do. But the difference is, I have not removed man entirely from the natural world, as eco-warriors have. There's a factory in Northumberland which produces 96,000 bottles of water an hour, plastic bottles. Coca-Cola bought the rights to the water, which trickles down the hills and into a well. Then they pump the water into these giant tanks, which they keep boiling to purify the water. They've also got they've got to add bags of minerals to the water, because otherwise it would just be the same as tap water, be a rip-off. Like the battery farm chickens I mentioned in another article, it's an example of pointless production for no other purpose than profit. The problem of having a clean water supply was solved in Northumberland decades ago, yet here we are boiling it, bottling it and selling it for no reason whatsoever, other than a multinational wants it to happen. As it happens, I knew a woman who worked there and she hated it. It's famous for being a bad place to work. And she had to do shifts and she had to spend her whole nights packing bottles and feeding the sticker machines and that kind of thing. And she'd have preferred not to have to work, but the state penalises you if you don't and you end up in poverty, so she has to. So here we have a situation wherein a multinational is selling the natural resources of an area at a profit. The end product is useless trash and local women are forced to work there throughout the night. Where in that process is the problem? For me, it's all of it. It's all of what I just described. To the green revolutionaries, it would be the plastic pollution and the fuel involved in transporting the product, the energy used and so on. The human element doesn't really come into it at all. In fact, it's their politics which resulted in women being forced into night shifts in the first place. They called it liberation. It was liberating for women to enter the job market. It was radical and rebellious for young women to be pushed into a 12-hour night shift, sticker and boxes, where you don't see the daylight for days on end because you sleep through the day. So here we have the problem with environmentalism and nature preservation when practiced by liberals from within the liberal paradigm. It's not that the revolutionary are dangerous, it's that they're not. All the appeals, the demands they have, are made upwards to the elites, to the EU and the UN, the mainstream parties. In other words, the very bodies the global oligarchy has created to serve its own interests. And they'll demand that these globalist hydra heads have even more power in order to prevent yet more destruction of the natural world by the very organisations which gathered together to create the system as a whole in the first place. And yet, if European women simply stop working within a year time frame, the entire thing would collapse in on itself. Of course, if that idea gained traction, the lefty greenies would be the first in line to tell us that we need more immigrants to fill the gap, to keep the machine of the elites chugging along for a bit more. And this leads us to another issue. Is it natural to have Ugandans in Norway? Why is it natural or good to have Pakistanis in Yorkshire, but wicked and evil to leave polar bears with nowhere to live? Why cry about the tiger going extinct, but defend and endorse the loss of habitat of the Dutch or the Swedes? It would be really easy to go to town on that. But what interests me about these people, these eco-warriors, these greenies, is that for them, man has become something separate from nature. He's a steward and guardian of nature, but not actually of nature himself. The irony here is that within this materialistic paradigm, the nature of man is nullified and we, as humans, become cattle. But the natural world itself is protected. The girl still gets to slave away in the bottle plant, but the bottles are eco-friendly and leave no carbon footprint. But how can that be truly realised if we have removed ourselves from the process of nature? Hell, I haven't even mentioned the gay and the trans issue. But how then can man in an unnatural state, or as something separate from the natural world, ever really be expected to care about it? Doesn't Intergender really care about the current state of the English oak tree? Does a Somalian in Holland have an interest in this year's heron catch? The fact is, the global homo world order has nothing but contempt for the natural world. This is a world of abortion and sex changes, hormones and race mixing. But do we care? We do care about penguins and forests, ice caps, plastic in the seas. We can smash the Swedish phenotype, no problem. That's no problem whatsoever. They'll be gone and nobody will bat an eye. But we do have to save the whale. But we have to beg the system to save the whale. And maybe it will. Maybe there will be more rules and regulations, more red tape. For me, that's the most pitiful sight of it all, though. Europeans care about the natural world, but in order to try and prevent its destruction, we go begging for help from the system. That's the limits of the rebellion. That's as far as it can go. The problem is that they can only perceive of these issues from under the dome of the technocratic system and its morality. The global oligarchy now finds itself in the position of a god where even the rebellion is contained within it. Now it decides which ethnic group and racial groups shall live and die, which nations should be invaded and ruled, which should be erased, which should be absorbed, which religion should be lionized and propagated, which should be gutted of meaning and left to die. Which species of animals should thrive, which should die? Which oceans should be clean and which polluted? The very air we breathe is moderated and quality controlled by a subgroup committee of the European Union. Lobby groups and think tanks determine what a man is or is not, what a woman is or is not. If the moneylenders decide that a man calling himself a woman is a woman, then that's that. It becomes law. But the natural world is sacred, we're told, and we have to beg for it to be saved. The rebellion can only really begin when there's a realignment and we recognise that we are not our entities outside of nature, but beholden to natural laws. When the girl at the bottle factory can have her needs as a woman supersede the factory's bottom line. What flows from that simple principle is the beginning of the end of the technocratic global order, when you put your own natural interests above the profit. But that's the hard part, because all rebellion except that is contained within the system. So I'll see you later, folks.